Have you ever just known something without really having any empirical evidence for it? Like, you just knew. And there was really nothing that anyone could point to. Oh, that's how he knew that. You've probably heard the stories. Maybe you've even lived them. You know, your buddy says, so I was planning to go on 85, but at the last minute, I kind of felt like maybe I should go the long way around. I changed my mind, and I don't know why I changed my mind, but I did. And I think if I hadn't done that, if I hadn't detoured, I might have been in that accident, right? You've heard those stories, right, that people tell from time to time. And actually, what happens is they're kind of getting an inkling of something, and are following through on it. Where do those inklings come from? Now, I don't pretend to have the answer for that, because I think they probably come from a variety of places. I honestly think that sometimes they're just coincidental. And I know you're kind of like, wait a second, I thought Christians didn't believe in coincidences. Why are you saying that, Pastor Steve? Because, I don't know, I kind of do believe in coincidences sometime. I know that some Christians are like, there's no such thing as a coincidence. God directs every decision you ever make. And I really don't know how to feel about that, because I struggle to believe that God has made every decision that I have made in my life, that he has made me make those decisions, because I know I've made some decisions that God would never want me to make. So sometimes I feel like, well, you know, maybe that inkling was just kind of a random thing. But I never want to leave it there, because I think often, more often than not, it is something beyond that. Other times I feel like those inklings are maybe what we would call intuition. Have you ever met a woman who, she's that woman that can look at a woman and say, you're pregnant. I can tell you're pregnant. You know, you're like, whoa, how does she know that? You know, she just has an intuition about that. A buddy of mine has that kind of intuition regarding people, and I'm going to change the names here. I'm going to just say that it was Ralph and Marcus. And Ralph has this intuitive sense to him, and I introduced him to Marcus, and I'll just tell you about Marcus. I don't usually say this about people, but Marcus is a bad guy. He's just bad. He's gossipy, he's mean, he's spiteful, he's manipulative, he's just a bad guy. And so I said, Ralph, this is Marcus. Marcus, this is Ralph. And later Ralph said to me, you know, I don't think I was there for a minute and a half till I realized that's a bad guy. Marcus is a bad guy. How did he know that? Just kind of intuitively, he could see that. He kind of picked up on it. And I think that maybe that intuition isn't a supernatural thing always. Maybe it's just you can see the signs and you learn to read the signs, how some people can read a room. There's another place that some people say it comes from. Some people believe it comes from a deceased family member or a deceased relative, a friend, something like that. Well, my Aunt Frances just gave me an inkling not to take I-85, so I didn't, you know. And you know my perspective on that, right? You get to heaven, and all you got to do is watch a reality show going on Earth. Man, that's just not heaven, right? There are better things to do in heaven than watch our trivial lives down here. That's just the truth. That's just the truth. So I don't know, I don't buy that one. I want to suggest a kind of a different perspective of where these inklings come from. I was speaking to someone on the phone just a couple days ago. They had told me the day before, they said, you know what, I decided I'm going to do this. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, but they said, I'm going to do this. This seems like the right thing for me to do. And it seemed right to me, and I just said, oh, that's cool. Yeah, go ahead and do that. Yeah, that makes sense to me. Then the next day, I happened to be talking to her on the phone, and she said to me, you know, Pastor, I was going to do that, but I woke up in the middle of the night and realized that would be a really bad idea. I think it was the Holy Spirit telling me that. I think he told me, don't do that. The Holy Spirit? Who's that? And why is he waking people up at 2 o'clock in the morning dispensing advice? That might feel kind of weird, but I think she was right. And when she talked to me about it, I thought, I think that was God, the Spirit, telling you that. I want to read in the Bible what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to read some selected verses from John 14, and then John 15, and then John 16. So if your Bible's open, you'll be flipping pages with me as you go. John 14, we're going to read three verses, starting at verse 15. Jesus is speaking. Listen to what he says. If you love me, you'll obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you, now there's some important words here, I'm going to emphasize it. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, that's an important word, another counselor, your version might say something different, we'll talk about that in a few minutes, that's an important word, to be with you forever, that's an important word, the Spirit of Truth, The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and, here's an important phrase, will be in you. Okay? Now let's go to chapter 15. We're going to look at verses 26 and 27 in chapter 15. Follow along. Jesus continues. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Okay? Now look ahead into chapter 16. Jesus is speaking again. And you know, in these chapters, he is preparing his disciples for his departure. He's going to go to the cross. And this is kind of his farewell speech, you might say, the counsel he's giving them, because he knows he'll be absent from their lives. Look at chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus continues, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away." Pause. I would think, okay, here Jesus is going to the cross, and he says, "It's for your good that I'm going." Probably his next sentence is going to be, "Because if I don't go to the cross, you're going to burn in hell," because that would be true. But he doesn't say that. He says, "It's for your good because of a whole different reason." Listen to what he says. Pick it up again in verse 7. "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." Now, if you've been around a while, the past couple weeks, you know that we're doing a series concerning good theology. And it comes from Lifeway Institute. They, in cooperation with Ligonier Ministries, kind of did a survey of evangelical Christians. That's people like you and me. And they asked them theological questions, and then they said, here's how people answer those questions. The question about the Holy Spirit that they ask is this. It's a true or false question. True or false, the Holy Spirit is a force, not a personal being. Don't answer that. True or false, the Holy Spirit is a force, not a personal being. The answer to that is false. That is false. And look how the numbers came out of it. Over half people, 56% of the people said, yeah, that's true. I agree with that. And then that black portion of the bar is people said, I'm not really sure. And then 1 in 10 of the evangelical Christians they surveyed said, no, the Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is a person, a personal being. Only 1 in 10 Christians were sure of that among those surveyed. It's really kind of a basic heresy that the Holy Spirit is a force, and it's a pretty popular heresy. I can remember the first time I believed this heresy. That's right, I believed this heresy for a short time in my life. I was sitting in a movie theater in Clarion, Pennsylvania, and I was watching Luke, and he's got it cooking, baby. He is down in the Death Star, and he's going through that valley. He's got his visor down, and everyone else has been shot, and you know how it's going to end. Luke is going to take out the Death Star. But man, it's just not working for him. It's not working for anybody. And then Luke hears this voice. You remember?
Use the Force, Luke.
That is not a bad Obi-Wan right there. Pretty good, huh? And Luke flips up his visor, and he says, I'll use the Force. Drops his payload, takes off straight up into the sky, and the Death Star explodes into a glorious finale. I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, that has a familiar tone to me. Because I've been to the altar at Mahaffey Camp and other places, and I've had godly men give me good counsel, godly women as well, saying, Steve, you know you can't do this on your own. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. You need to stop this struggle on your own and surrender yourself and let the Holy Spirit do it.
Use the Force, Steve.
That's what I was thinking in my head. And in my young mind, I got this idea that as a 16-year-old, I was such a theologian. Wow, Star Wars is a Christian movie. And they're telling us about the Holy Spirit. That's not the case. No, 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 no. The Star Wars Force is very different from the Holy Spirit. I could tell you a number of ways he's different. One way is that the Force is part of the universe, or maybe even the whole universe in Star Wars. In contrast to that, the Holy Spirit is God. He is uncreated, and he actually goes beyond that which is created. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But before that, the Holy Spirit was. In fact, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 calls him the eternal Spirit. He's everlasting because he's God. That which is created is not eternal. But the Holy Spirit is eternal because he is not part of creation. He's God. Have you ever heard anyone say, I feel like the universe was telling me I probably shouldn't date her, you know? The universe can't do that. It's not a person. It doesn't speak. The Holy Spirit goes beyond that which is created. And you know that. But right at the very beginning of the Bible, the first verse of the first chapter of the first book says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was there already. And he was hovering over the waters. In the Star Wars world, the Force is part of creation. In fact, it might be all creation. But in the Bible, the Holy Spirit, along with God the Father, God the Son, author of creation, uncreated. There are more differences, though. Here's another difference. The Holy Spirit is a person. We say the third person of the Trinity, whereas the Force is not a person. It is impersonal. The Force has no intellect. The Force has no will. The Force has no emotion. Those are the three substantive qualities of personhood: intellect, will, and emotion. If you don't have that, you're probably not a person. The Force does not have those things. But the Bible teaches that the Spirit of God does have those things. For example, in the Bible, you see that the Spirit of God can be grieved. Do not grieve the Spirit. You can see that the Spirit of God can choose, and he chose Paul and Barnabas for this mission and this ministry. You can see the Holy Spirit can speak. In fact, we just read it a few moments ago in verse 26 of chapter 15. It says, when a counselor comes, those last words say, he will testify about me. He speaks because he's a person. Using the Holy Spirit would be like using a person, and you don't use a person, Luke. You use stuff, but not a person. The Holy Spirit is not impersonal like a brick. He's a person just as is God the Father and God the Son. Let me just give you one more difference between the Holy Spirit and the Force. The Holy Spirit is real and the Force is made up. How about that one? Okay? Yeah, that's kind of a no-brainer. Years ago in Australia, that's the first time I ever heard of it, they were taking a survey, and, you know, you fill out the survey, male, female, how old are you, where do you live, you know, what is your race, and what is your religion, and the Australian chaps started putting in Jedi, you know. That's kind of funny. But I think they probably did it, some of them, to be funny. If so, that's comical. If not, then it's kind of like being in a UFO cult, you know. Yeah, I'm a Jedi. Really? You do know that's from science fiction, right? And we know that George Lucas based a lot of his Star Wars world on Eastern mysticism, but still, that's a movie. It wasn't real. It isn't real. It didn't happen in a galaxy far, far away, as much as we may wish it did. But the Holy Spirit, he's real. He's real. And to discover that reality, it would be smart for us to say, well, in the passages that we just read, how does Jesus speak of the Holy Spirit? What does he say about the Holy Spirit? And I guess maybe one of the first things I could tell you is that he says the Holy Spirit is another of the same kind. And you may think to yourself, well, what does that mean? Well, first, take a look at the text. It says in 14:16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you, the Spirit of truth. And that another is in place of him. Jesus is saying, another counselor is coming in my place. Because he's just said, I'm leaving. I'm going away, and it's for your good that I'm going away, but don't worry, another is coming. Let me talk to you about another, okay? We have one word for another in the English language. Who knows what it is? Another. Okay? But in the Greek language, there are two words for another. One of them is heteros. That means another of a different kind. I'm a heterosexual, so sexually I'm interested in a different kind. You understand that? If something is heterogeneous, it is similar, but it's not the same. It has a difference to it. Heteros. Another of a different kind. The other one is allos, A-L-L-O-S. I would spell it with English letters, allos or allos. And it means another, the same kind. So if I were to say to you, this is a seat, right here. And this is another. This seat is another of a different kind. I would say heteros if I was speaking Greek, okay? Jesus doesn't use heteros. He says, I'm leaving. I'm going to send another allos of the same kind. They're the same. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, I'm sending another of the same kind to be with you. And that's a pretty important distinction that Jesus is making. It's an important distinction the theologians make about that because it tells us what the Holy Spirit is like. That he is like Jesus. He is one of the same kind. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Another of the same kind. There are differences between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And there is a difference between Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells one of those differences right there. He says that this other one who's just like me will be with you forever. I'm leaving, but this other one will be with you forever, the Holy Spirit. And another difference, he says, is I'm kind of standing here right beside you. Like I'm going to go up to Dave Clark here, and I'm going to say, Dave, you are there, and I am here, right? And I'm kind of glad, because I don't want you right here. I like you right there, okay? All right? Yeah. When I'm with Jesus, I'm with someone 2,000 years ago who's right there, and I'm right here. But Jesus says when the other counselor of the same kind comes, he won't be right there when you're right here. He will be right here. He will be in you. He will live with you. He does live with you, and he will be in you. I don't know about you, but every now and then through the years, I have said to myself, man, I just wish Jesus was here. I got some things that I would like to ask him. I wish Jesus was here. I could use some help with this. I wish Jesus was right here. I envy Peter, James, and John, and all those guys. They had Jesus right here, like right here. How come I can't have Jesus right here? And then I realize what Jesus is saying is, Steve, you got another of the same kind right here. And that's really cool. In fact, he says it's better. He says, we just read it, that he will not just be with you, he will be in you, and it is for your good that I'm going away, because I will send him to be in you. Another of the same kind. Jesus uses some words when he speaks about the Holy Spirit. He uses the word advocate. If you have a more recent update of the NIV, it probably said that instead of counselor. I'll tell you what an advocate is. I had a teacher that I never connected with, probably around fifth grade. I can remember this teacher decided we needed to have a parent-teacher conference, all right? And so she called my mom in. I want to tell you something about my mom. This was a rule. You get a spanking at school, you get one at home. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, and I saw that happen. I can remember, though, mom went into this, and there she was in this conference, and she never told me about it. And so years ago, after I graduated, she said, do you remember that incident in fifth grade when I had to go in and speak to your teacher? I said, yeah. She said, I went in there, and the teacher told me all the things that were wrong with you. And I said to myself, that's kind of pretty normal stuff for a kid this age. And there was another teacher sitting there, and I looked at the other teacher, and I said, you haven't said anything. What do you have to say? And the other teacher said these words, I've never had a problem with Steve. And here's what my mom did. She didn't tell me this till I graduated. Here's what she did. You don't have a problem with Steve. You do. What's your problem? Okay? Now every teacher here wants to spank my mom, don't you? You do. You do. Okay? Here's what I want you to hear from that, though. Okay? Set that aside. My mom was being my advocate. Do you understand that? She was advocating for someone she loved. And she may have been wrong, because she's human. But the Holy Spirit is never wrong, and he is your advocate. And he advocates for you before ones who would accuse you. Do you know what the word Satan means? Accuser. I will send another counselor. I will send an advocate as the same kind as me. I like this Holy Spirit guy. He's a good guy. He is my advocate. He's in my corner. Jesus uses another word. He uses, and this is You'd find this in versions like the ESV, the New American Standard, New King James. He's my helper. And what that means is the Holy Spirit helps me. When I find the struggle is difficult, the Holy Spirit helps me. When I find I have to do something I don't know that I'm prepared to do, the Holy Spirit helps me. Here's another word that word counselor is translated as is comforter. King James, the old King James, called it comforter. He's the one who comforts us. Now you look at all these words, he's another, he's an advocate, he's a counselor, he's a helper, and you say to yourself, well, which one is right? And the Greek word paraclete that is being translated there, Greek scholars, and I am not a Greek scholar, what I do is I read Greek scholars. The Greek scholars say this, they say, they're all right. They're all correct. That what Jesus is telling us is that he has given us someone like himself who comes and lives in us when we trust him. And that someone will be our counselor, our advocate, our helper, our comforter. He's another of the same kind. That's who the Holy Spirit is. Ever wonder, well, why then would Jesus give us the Holy Spirit? And there are a number of reasons. One reason is, he gives us the Holy Spirit so that we have a heightened sense of right and wrong. There's a passage in the Bible in 1 Thessalonians where the Bible says, our gospel came to you not in simple words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and then catch this phrase, with deep conviction. And so what's being said there is that when the gospel was preached to the people of Thessalonica, suddenly they had a different sense of right and wrong. They had a deep conviction about things. There are really three voices in my life that help me with a sense of right and wrong, probably more than three. One of them's my wife. Really, Steve? You just had a pork chop for supper and now you're going to eat a pound of chocolate. Is that a good idea? There's my wife heightening my sense of right and wrong. There's another voice, and that would be my own conscience, because being made in the image of God, we naturally know right from wrong to some degree. But there's this third voice in my life. He is the Holy Spirit. And he says words like this, Steve, shouldn't you be doing this instead of doing that? Steve, maybe you ought to go this way instead of that way. Stephen Daniel Shields, don't you dare. You know that voice? It's the Holy Spirit of God. Now, sometimes for a new believer, this can be kind of tough. Because suddenly, if you're a new Christian, you're kind of troubled by things you used to do and have no trouble with, places you used to go and television you used to watch and people you used to hang out with. I asked Jim for permission to share this story. Jim, who is an elder here at Kermansville Alliance, when he was right out of high school or maybe even still in high school, he sang in a rock and roll band. I'm just a singer in a rock and roll band. That was Jim Bell right there, you know? Yeah. And he would go and he would sing in bars. His band was very popular and sang 100 times a year. In bars. He said to me a few moments ago, he said, you know, something about a bar, if you're there at closing, they turn on the lights, you're like, whoa, wow, this is not what I thought it was, you know? Yeah. So Jim prayed to receive Christ as his Savior. By the way, you know, he did that during a premarital counseling with a pastor at the church here at the time. And then he kept going to the bars and singing. And no one had to tell him. No one had to tap him on the shoulder. No one had to say, hey, do you think that's right for you to be in there with all the, in that environment? Jim just said, I just don't know that this is healthy for me. And it was really the Holy Spirit working in his life, helping him discern right from wrong. Your friends look at you and they say, what happened? Well, here's what happened. It's the person of the Holy Spirit who has given me a stronger sense of right and wrong. And at first, that might not seem like a good thing. You know, a young Christian might be like, you know what? I kind of like doing that. Now I can't do it. Well, let me just help you with that a little bit. People come to Jesus for a variety of reasons. You know, generally it's because they need something. Maybe you come to Jesus for healing. Maybe you come to Jesus because your marriage is a wreck. Maybe you come to Jesus because you just need to feel his love. Maybe you come to Jesus because you need some direction. Whatever reason we come to Jesus, inevitably, when we come to him, we begin to feel this other sense that maybe we hadn't felt before, this sense of guilt or this sense of shame in ways that we didn't feel before, and things that were never an issue are now a problem, and we recognize that little white lies are neither little nor white, and we look at ourselves and we see, wow, there's just something wrong here with me. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's him working in your life. And it's a good thing he does it. Here's why. Because when he heightens your sense of right and wrong, he is saving you a bucket full of regret. When he gives you a stronger sense of right and wrong, he is sparing you from potential shame in your future. When he gives you this increased sense of right and wrong, he is preventing you from hurting other people, and maybe even hurting yourself. And hear this, when he is giving you this higher sense of right and wrong, he's sparing you judgment that you don't want to face. And so this gift that the Holy Spirit has given you, Jesus gives you the Holy Spirit to give you this because it's actually a blessing. It's a good thing to know right from wrong. Let me give you another reason that Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit, and that would be to assure us that we belong to God. Because I think sometimes everybody feels like, I don't know if I'm really a Christian or not. I don't know if I'm really saved. Am I really one of God's own? And there may be good reasons you wonder that. Maybe you're not. Maybe you've never in your life said, God, I know that I've sinned. Please forgive me. I believe Jesus died for my sin. Enter my life, Jesus. I will follow you. I will trust you. I will trust you for my salvation. And if you've never done that, then you should have no assurance of salvation. But let's imagine you did do that. And now you're kind of still struggling with that. I think all of us do from time to time. We feel like, man, I just don't know. I did this wrong thing, and maybe God doesn't love me anymore. And then we hear this voice of, remember what Satan means? Of the accuser. And he's saying, yeah, God could never really love you. He could never love you. When you hear that voice, what I hear Jesus saying, what I hear God saying, is the Holy Spirit can speak more loudly than that voice if you will hear him. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit himself speaks to our spirit, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if you are in Christ, if you've turned from your sin and you're trusting him, the enemy will do whatever he can to derail you and to cause you to doubt that. But the Bible says this about the enemy. It says, the one who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The Spirit of God who is in you testifies that you're God's children if you're trusting Christ. And he's greater than the one who would want to take that from you. You can trust the Holy Spirit. It's one of the reasons Jesus had him sent from the Father. Here's the third reason Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit creates good stuff in our lives. He creates good stuff in our lives. Most of you know that Google likes to try to guess what you're searching for as you're typing it. You know that, right? You start to type something like, Pastor Steve is, and Google finishes it with the words, cool, 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 right? All right? Google's always trying to guess what you're typing in, and that's kind of a fun thing to do, is type things in and see how it's going to end it. This week, I typed in, what is wrong with, okay? Think of the ways it could have answered that. What is wrong with my car? What is wrong with America? What is wrong with people? What is wrong with the Penguins? What is wrong with the Steelers? The word, though, that Google predicts is based on what people usually type. And what people usually type is, what is wrong with me? Now, I want you to think about that a minute. We live in a world of human beings that are going to a search engine and asking it, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? Now, the Bible answers, what is wrong with me? The Bible says we're born in sin and we have a sinful nature, and it describes the sinful nature in not real flattering terms. Galatians chapter 5, 19 says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. What is wrong with me? You were born with a sinful nature. But good things can come from you when the Holy Spirit lives in you. In fact, the word right after that verse, the very next verse, begins with the word but. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against those things, there is no law. Now, most of the time, we memorize verses, and if you're memorizing that one, you're kind of stuck on the love, joy, peace, patience, kind. But what I want you to see is, don't miss the first part of that. That is the fruit of who? The Spirit. That is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. He makes that happen in your life. And the guys who were praying with me at the altars in my at the altar in my past, they were the guys who were saying, Steve, you need to surrender and allow the Holy Spirit to change your life. They weren't saying use the force. They were saying surrender to the one who can produce good things. One more thing, one more reason Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit, and that would be because he leads us and empowers us. Right before Jesus ascended, he said to his followers, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. When? When the Holy Spirit comes on you. What do I get when the Holy Spirit comes? Power and direction so that I can be his witnesses. Do you know that last week, in the two services we had well over 200 people here. That blows my mind. And you know, word gets around, and I've actually had conversations with leaders at the district level and even at the national level, and they say, Steve, what are you doing? What is going on? Because how is this happening that your church has grown like this? And I say, we got new chairs. I tell them about the changes. They say, we paved the parking lot, we got new chairs, we have new music. I tell them this. There's an atmosphere of love here that is really powerful. But we all know it is because of the Holy Spirit. He has led us to this place and this time. And he has empowered us to be these people. That is why Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't just do that corporately. It's not like the Holy Spirit exists to make the church big. And that's not why we're here. We're here to expand the kingdom of God. But he does it personally as well. And so he can lead you and empower you in your parenting. And he can lead you and empower you with your empty nesting. He can lead you and empower you through your depression. And he can lead you and he can empower you in your marriage. He can lead you and empower you on a job. He can lead you and empower you in your heart. That is why Jesus gave the Holy Spirit to do those things. I got to just tell you, I feel like this sermon is okay. I think it's pretty good. But I want to tell you, last night, I said to Laurel, this sermon stinks. I'm going to have to do what I do every week, just get up and preach it and let the Holy Spirit do the work. And he does. He does it again and again and again. As he lives in us, filling us, the Holy Spirit gives us way more than an inkling. You understand that? It's so much bigger than that. He provides us with the kinds of things Jesus, another of the same kind, would provide us with. He gives us a heightened sense of right and wrong. And Jesus did that when he was with his disciples. Oh, Peter, come on. He did that. The Holy Spirit does that. So that we can be free from shame and guilt. And he gives us an assurance that we belong to God. So that when the enemy is telling us lies that we don't matter to God, there's a witness of the Spirit that if we will listen for him, he will testify with our spirit that we are God's children. And he creates good things in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So that we can have great relationships with people around us. And he leads us and empowers us, making our lives have an impact that they otherwise could never hope to have. Changing us and using us, transforming us. It's way more than an inkling, right? Way more. Listen carefully. When you open your heart to Christ, his Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. He makes your heart his home. He is another of the same kind as Jesus, and he lives inside of you. He wants to fill us. He wants to fill you with his presence. And the way that that happens, the way he enters you is when you say, Jesus, please forgive me. I trust you. And the way he fills you is when you surrender your life to him. And he gives you all these blessings. He's so much more than a force. He is God, the Holy Spirit. And as you surrender to him, he will fill your life. And I want to pray that for you this morning. So as the musicians come, if you're comfortable doing so, I'd like to ask you to stand.